Paul wrote one of the most descriptive and most pointed denunciations of the forces that neutralize, that tarnish by exposure, a godly walk. And although he's writing to his own son in the faith, Timothy, although he's warning him as a man of God, these truths communicate to us today. I want to just run through because the words he chose are fascinating. He said, first of all, philautos, which means self-lovers. He said, people will be self-centered. Their life will be centered on self. They will be the antithesis of the gospel, which the gospel says our lives are to be a death to self and a life to God. But they will be living, self-centered. Secondly, they'll be philagoras, money lovers. Remember, Timothy was pastoring in Ephesus. Ephesus was much like New York City. All trade routes, all commerce out of Asia Minor came through Ephesus, and all commerce into Asia Minor came into Ephesus on the river. And in that flow, the people began to love agoras, money. He also said, thirdly, they would be alazon, braggarts. This was the word used for, if you've ever been to the country fair, when someone's selling, you know, the miracle stuff, you put a little on, it'll make your hair grow, put a little on the floor, it'll take any stain off, put a little on the wall, it'll take any mark off, you know, a miracle product. It became the word for a quack who would offer something but just boasted with empty words. And he said, in the last days, people are going to be totally centered on themselves, they're going to be totally enamored with the pursuit of money, and they're going to be totally boastfully empty. Sounds so much like today. Huperephanos, they're going to be arrogant. They're going to show themselves above all, not merely outwardly, but they're going to have an internal heart attitude that they are better than everyone else. I want to comment a little later, but this shows up so much in people's driving. I have been making trips, seems like 10 trips to Women and Infants Hospital. And as I tool along at the speed limit, and people, they'll just cut right in front of each other. And you can tell they don't want anybody to get in front of them. And they have their Q45As, and they'll just right in front. And it's that I am better than you mentality. And my plan is more important than yours. And I am in a hurry, and don't stand in my way. And this is just what the Bible says. But fifthly, blasphemia. It was a reviler. Someone not merely with the hot words of anger, but someone that has the coldness of an arrogant insult. This word blasphemy means someone that totally derides someone else, and it became to be the worst thing you could say about God was to coldly blaspheme him without any anger, just with coldness of heart. And it says in the last days, people are going to be so cold in their arrogance that they will insult people to the point of destruction. And then there's going to be the total loss of all submission. It says that there will be disobedience to parents. The United Nations declared the year of the child, the year of the woman, the decade of the child, and now the decade of the woman. They want there to be total egalitarian equality with no submission, no authority, everybody equal. Everybody's afraid of doing anything to children because they don't want to be accused of child abuse, molestation. If you're even accused, they'll lock you up before they're even sure you're guilty. That is the era we live in. What is that doing to men? They're afraid to discipline their children. They're afraid to tell them what to do. They don't want to be called in. They don't want the teachers at school asking their kids questions, and so they back off. And just like in the first century, people could be taken to the arena for not putting the incense for the emperor, people today can be taken before the courts for obeying God. It's the spirit of the world that we live in today. The seventh description is acharistos, ungrateful. It's a thankless refusal to even acknowledge that there's any debt of gratitude owed to anyone. People get up and they forget totally the humble beginnings they had, and they focus on the fact that they and they alone have made their accomplishments. And what a blessed thing it is to find someone that's thankful. The eighth word there is the word anosias. It means an unholy a refusal to even recognize decency. If you read the paper very much or listen to the news, the gruesome trash compactor murder of a child in New York City yesterday, they squashed him in the trash compactor. This is what it's talking about, a refusal to even recognize decency. In the Greek world, this meant someone that wouldn't bury a dead person. They would leave them exposed on the surface to corruption. No decency. In the world we live in, there is no decency. There is no culture. There is no seeking other than for abnormal thrills. Jerry mentioned the gay march. It was the sodomite and lesbian march. But if you saw some of those people, they were drastically abnormal. And they were parading as normal their degenerate and sinful and wicked lifestyle that tries to push God out. And the sad thing is that there are supposed Christians who are claiming that God made them that way. And actually, Satan perverted their lust and turned them that way. Well, again, the ninth one is unloving. You notice how at the beginning of verse 3, these people and these forces that are marshaled against our society through all the powers of darkness will make people basically unloving. I'm looking forward to our communion service in June to just, at the Lord's table, focus on what love is to be. Christ said that all people in the world would know us by our love, and the Apostle Paul says that you'll know Satan's crowd by their unloving spirit. The word unloving here is the word astorgos, which means without family or human affection. It means a time when self prevails over even the closest relationships. And Christ said that the time was going to come when we were going to have to love him so much that it would mean the loss of family love. And I think some of you are realizing you're going to have to deal with that. If you follow Christ and your family is following him in a different direction, it's going to cost you something. There's going to be a distancing there. You don't do it on purpose, but they say you have a higher priority than us. And you say, yes, God is a higher priority than you. Not to the neglect, because God says that if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. But in pleasure seeking, there is a neglect of family relationship when God has the priority. But in this third verse, it says that the last days are going to be characterized by people that don't even have family love. The abandoned babies in our major metropolitan areas are staggering. They find them on park benches. They find them in trash dumps. They find them everywhere because there's no family love anymore. And the scriptures tell us that's going to characterize more and more the end of the age. That's why people can't stay married. That's why children can't stay home. That's why parents don't stay together. That's why there's just no community anymore, because it's a astorge, no family love in our era. Then the next one, after it says unloving, it says that they are also irreconcilable. That means that a person that breaks all agreements, they're implacable. You can't reconcile with them. They are always, as it were, they have a burr under their saddle. They just can't be made right. And that's our society. Diabolos is the next word. Very interesting. It's the word for Satan. It says that they're malicious gossips. They're little devils. What they can do is, in an instant, they can totally destroy someone by giving evil reports. And the scriptures tell us that's something we're supposed to watch out for, because our tongues are a world of evil. And if we don't watch it, if we're exposed to self-lovers and money-lovers, if we're exposed to people that don't have family love, that don't have commitment, that are malicious gossips, it's very easy for us to be conditioned that way. And the Apostle Paul says, watch out. This is the flavor of the world that you're going into, and it's going to get increasingly more defiled. Don't let that devilish way of having a slanderous tongue be a part of your life. The next word is akrates, which means they have no ability to control themselves. It says in the New American Standard, without self-control. A means, an alpha privative means no. Kratos means power. Pantokrator. Means without power. They have no power to hold in their desires. In other words, if they're shopping, they'll buy whatever they'll run their credit card up tens of thousands of dollars. They have no control over themselves. If they want a woman, they'll take a woman. If they want a man, they'll take a man. If they want a pleasure, they'll take the pleasure. They have no self-control. They are unbounded. And what a world we live in. And what we do nowadays is we put them in little help groups, you know. Do you remember Wade Boggs? He says, I don't have a problem. He says, I have an addiction to to lecherous and sensual things. And so they put him in a group of other people that also had that problem so they could all help each other. And what it means is that instead of us seeing that the problem we have is that we don't have God's self-control, we look at it and blame it on someone else. And God says the problem is there's no self-control. Brutal. I mean, look at the murders nowadays. It used to be people just got killed. Now they get diced up, cut up, dragged around, skewered, burned, parts of their bodies taken off. It's a brutal world that we live in. And the Scripture said that, that there are going to be people that are brutal, and it will get worse and worse. It says also at the end of verse 3, the haters of that which is good. And I think it's fascinating that if you bring up anything about the Lord in public settings, public schools, university life, they want any answer but God. They want any answer but truth, because they don't love good. And if you happen to bring up the fact that the Bible says that, they will immediately say that's a wrong answer, because we won't accept that, because it's good. And don't be alarmed by that, because the Scriptures tell us that they hated Christ and crucified him because he made them feel so uncomfortable. And you and I also will make people feel uncomfortable. Verse 4 says people will be treacherous. That means they'll be willing to betray for any reason to accomplish their own means. They'll be, the next word is reckless. That means swept along headlong and unthinkingly with their desires. They will do whatever it takes to get whatever they want recklessly. They'll be conceited. That's a beautiful picture in the Greek language. It means literally, it's the word tou phamenos, which means head swelled. Their heads are swollen. And they just think they're important. They will also be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, that is very obvious. If you left this place and drove around Rhode Island, you would find most people worshiping at the shrine of recreation. Especially the further into the day you get, people are out worshiping in nature, on the golf courses, they're worshiping the sun on the beaches, they're out worshiping their pleasure rather than sacrificing their pleasure to worship the infinite and true God. And when you think about that, our world is the recreation world. And people are living for pleasure. And they want that pleasure now. And the reason why a lot of men, in many studies recently, if you notice, most men default morally in the second half of their lives. David and many others that are chronicled in Scripture defaulted morally after they reached the halfway point. Why? Because they're conditioned by this world around us saying, get what you want when you want it, and they keep listening to it, they get desensitized, and finally they give in to those desires. And they become a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. It says in verse 5, they'll hold to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. In other words, they're very religious. They just don't want to talk about the doctrine, about the holiness of God, about the reality of sin, about the sinfulness into which we were born into this world, about the judgment of God to come. They deny the power, they deny the hope, but they have a form of godliness. They go to church. They worship something. They worship the great spirit God, but they don't worship the infinite and true God revealed in Jesus Christ. And here's what verse 5 concludes with. Avoid such men as these. Well, that's...